I watch Quint walk away, weirdly mesmerized by the way the sun glints off his hair. My insides flutter. No, my mind howls at me. Why is this happening? How is this happening? I want to deny it. Oh, I desperately want to deny it. But the evidence is right there in my traitorous little heart, which is still hiccuping from his presence. Gosh darn it, I think I might be starting to like Quint Erickson. I grimace. I am so annoyed with myself right now. To be crushing on lazy, irresponsible goof-off Quint? It's unfathomable. Except, how much of that is true? I've seen him working at the center. He's not lazy. He's not irresponsible. He's still relaxed and easygoing and fun. He's still charming, friendly to everyone. He's still quick to crack a joke. But even if, by some bizarre twist of fate, it turns out that Quint is sort of my type, there is no way that I could possibly be his. That's a quote from Instant Karma by Marissa Meyer. This is YA Book Chat, and I'm your host, Leah Stuhler. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of YA Book Chat. Thank you so much for being here and listening. And I want to give a special shout out and thank you to each of my patrons. I could not be here without you and your support. So thank you for helping keep this podcast going. Well, today is a very special episode because not only do I have one guest, I actually have two guests today. And we are talking about the book Instant Karma by Marissa Meyer. You guys will remember in November, I had Marissa on the podcast to talk about Instant Karma. Well, today, my friends Bethany and Taylor are joining me, and we are going to discuss Instant Karma ourselves, and I am super excited, and it's going to be so much fun. So we have Bethany, who has been on the podcast before. You guys know her as the host of the Prince Kai Fan Pod. Say hello, Bethany.
Hello.
And then we have Taylor, who I met through Instagram, and she is super fun, and I'm really excited to have Taylor here as well. Go ahead and say hi, Taylor.
Hi.
I am really excited to have both of you here. We are going to have so much fun on this episode.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. You want to tell everybody a little bit about yourself, Taylor?
Oh my gosh, I'm a little nervous. Okay. So I'm like a broke college student, you know how it is at ASU. I'm like a huge lover of books. I love all kinds of books. So I just read any chance I can get, you know, between classes. So
that's awesome. I love reading as well. It's super, super fun, of course. I would spend all of my time doing it if I could, but, you know, responsibilities, whatever.
I know, right now, I'm trying to read a book that I don't have on audiobook, but I'm also crocheting a present for my mom because she's getting married. So I'm like trying
multitasking
to while reading. It's going well.
Yeah, that's really hard. Well, Bethany, I'm sure everybody is familiar with Prince Kai Fan Pod by this point, but go ahead and tell everybody a little bit about your podcast.
So Prince Kai Fan Pod is a Marissa Meyer book club podcast where every week I have a different guest and we discuss every book by Marissa Meyer, chapter by chapter, spoiler free. But right now we are covering Crest, book 3 in the Lunar Chronicles series.
My favorite book in the Lunar Chronicles series.
Mine too.
I love the whole series, but I'm telling you, there is nothing like Cress and Thorne's relationship. It is just the best. It's my favorite.
I agree completely.
All that happens in that book is just my favorite. So
this is the quirkiest of all of the Rampian crew. So she's just so adorable.
I love Cress is definitely my spirit animal. I am a hopeless romantic who's desperate for friendship and super socially awkward. So.
And it works.
And
out
I would
really
totally
well.
Fall in love with a space cowboy.
Oh man. Well, she's just so relatable too, because she is that girl, like we've all, as you know, women, when we were growing up and teenagers and, you know, younger, we've all had that one person who we've like fantasized about, some kind of celebrity or something, right? We just don't usually get the chance to have that fulfilled. You know, she actually gets to meet hers, you know.
But yeah, I was gonna marry Cole from Charmed. So,
oh, nice. Now. I know. I wanted to marry.
I don't even know his name, but the guy from Ellen Enchanted, the love interest. With,
oh, yes.
Kind of off the way.
Yes.
Char.
Mine growing up was Jonathan Brandis. Again, dating myself here because I'm a lot older than the two of you. But all right. So if you have not yet read Marissa's new book, this is Instant Karma, and it is a contemporary romance. And so we're going to talk for the first 10 to 15 minutes spoiler-free, and then we will dive into spoilers, and I will give you a warning before we do, just in case you have not read the book. So first, I'm going to give you a quick little plot overview. I'm actually just going to read from the book jacket because it is super great. It's just a great description. Chronic overachiever Prudence Barnett is always quick to cast judgment on the lazy, rude, and arrogant residents of her coastal town. Her dreams of karmic justice are fulfilled when, after a night out with her friends, she wakes up with the sudden ability to cast instant karma on those around her. Prue giddily makes use of the power, punishing everyone from public vandals to mean gossips. But there is one person on whom her powers consistently backfire, Quint Erickson, her slacker of a lab partner. Quint is annoyingly cute and impressively noble, especially when it comes to his work with the rescue center for local sea animals. When Prue resigns herself to working at the rescue center for extra credit, she begins to uncover truths about baby otters, so cute, environmental upheaval, and romantic crossed signals, not necessarily in that order. Her newfound karmic insights reveal how thin the line is between virtue and vanity, generosity and greed, love and hate, and fate. So this is just such a fantastic book. All three of us absolutely loved it. So we are going to talk a little bit about kind of our overall thoughts and what we really enjoyed about it. Spoiler free, just for a little bit. Taylor, why don't you go first?
So just like right off the bat, I don't know if you've ever read this book, Aristotle and Dante Discover the Secrets of the Universe by Benjamin Sines. It's just like one of those like summer, I almost said movies, summer books, like you read in every other season besides summer, and then you just wish it was summer. Like, ugh, I really want to just go to the beach, and I love it so much. And she always has like this way of like, even though she said this one, she's not going to worry about like, you know, the world ending, like all her other books and stuff. And she said it's a lot more like fluffy and just light. She still has a way of like pulling out all of your emotions. Like, I was just a mess. I love it.
Me too. I completely agree. I absolutely love the town that it takes place in. It's like the cutest little coastal California town that you could possibly imagine. You know, like it's not Hollywood. It's not ruined by all of the stardom and all the craziness. It's just this cute little town set alone by itself on the ocean. And it just seems like so peaceful and perfect. And I love it. It's super fun. What about you, yeah. Bethany?
I agree. And I grew up in a really small farm town. There's only like 7,000 people. And it had a very similar feel. And once a year we had an apple. Well, it still does it. I just don't live there now. But once a year, the first weekend of September, they have what's called Apple and Pork. You can Google it, Apple and Pork Festival, Clinton, Illinois. And this tiny little town that we lived in of 7,000 people brings in 150,000 people for 3 days. And it is a madhouse. And our teeny tiny little town just gets turned into this big, huge event. So I definitely resonated with a lot of the like small town aspects in this book. And then I completely agree with Taylor. It felt like a summer rom-com and I adored it so much. And I think Prudence is the most unlikable and most relatable character I've ever read in my life.
Agreed.
And even though the world wasn't ending, it's told through the perspective of a 16-year-old girl, and it's told very honestly. So there were definitely moments where it felt like the world was ending, even without superhero power.
Yeah.
Yes.
So very enjoyable read. I absolutely loved reading it. I went through quite a few emotional journeys on this one.
Me too. It's just there. I feel like there wasn't anything to not like about it. And the funny thing is I am actually not normally a rom-com kind of person. I feel like I used to be, that used to be like my go-to type of movie, at least definitely. Some books, but not as much. But like, I don't typically tend to like go towards romance in books. But I, of course, read this one because Marissa is one of my favorite authors who like, her books are an automatic buy for me. So she writes something new, it comes out, I'm going to buy it no matter what, because I know it's going to be good. So that's why I bought this one, because I was like, oh, this is going to be fantastic. And it is like, it's not, it feels different to me than like a regular romance. You know what I mean? Like Prudence is, oh man, there are so many things about Prudence to either like or dislike, but she's not like crazy annoying. You know what I mean? Like I've read books before where I just get kind of annoyed with some of the characters.
Abandoned.
Yeah. So like, yeah. But
I remember we talked about that when we read the Abandoned series by Meg Cabot, that there were definitely moments where the main character was like, oh, you're driving me nuts here.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it's like Prudence, like she's got these personality traits that I relate to a little too closely, you know, like with being a control freak and whatnot, but you know, and a perfectionist, but it's not like, and sometimes you're like, she's one of those characters who like you love to hate, but you really love her though, you know?
I am like partially Prudence because I mean, anyone who's listened to the Prince Kai fan pod knows that I am a crazy overachiever. I have to be busy. I'm what my mother-in-law calls a busy beaver. I'm a workaholic. So I definitely relate to like the perfectionist workaholic side of her, but I am not confrontational. I am very awkward. I am not good at advocating for myself. And so I don't necessarily relate to that aspect of her. And then I'm also a huge animal person, and I have been volunteering at animal shelters my whole life. So I don't know if it's too much of a spoiler to say that there's at one point she says like, oh, I'm not really an animal person. Like I can't relate to that at all.
Right.
Yeah. I relate to Prudence and Quint at the same time. Cause I'm like a perfectionist, but I'm also a huge procrastinator. It does not make well. So I'm like, I gotta get that assignment done. I have to do good. And then I'm like, I'll do it later.
But then we write an essay in like 6 hours and get an A, and it just proves that the cycle works.
Whatever floats your boat, you know?
Right? You gotta do what works for you. I'm probably don't have quite as much Quint in me. Definitely more Prudence. But
so there's times where I was like, Prudence, I understand. Like, I understand where your frustration's coming from.
But there were also times where I was like, Quint, I totally get it, bro. Like,
I actually felt kind of a connection with Ari as well because of her love for music and just how passionate she is about it. Because like for me, like the scene, and this is not a spoiler, but so the scene where they're in the bedroom and they're listening to music and Ari is like so touched by the song that she starts crying. I love that scene because that's totally me. I do the same thing. Not not necessarily with music all the time, but with theater, because that's what, you know, my passion in life has always been. I have a degree in theater. I teach theater. So like I'll go see a show or I'll listen to the, you know, Broadway musicals. And I have the same thing. Like I'll just start crying and I'm like, what is the matter with me? But no, it's fine.
Well, I mean, I definitely cry at music, but every time I listen to Soon You'll Get Better by Taylor Swift, I bawl my eyes out. I can barely get through that song.
It's, well, Taylor's great. Taylor Swift is great.
I mean, nobody can, if I've learned anything in the 30 years I've been on this planet, it's that nobody can rip my heart out like Marissa Meyer and Taylor Swift.
Very good. Very true. I would add Pierce Brown to that list. He is the author of Red Rising, the Red Rising series, because his last book in that series, book number 5, completely ripped me to shreds. So we'll see how book number 6 comes out. But yeah, I love too the animal rescue. So I loved that it was marine animals. I told Marissa this in my, when I recorded with her, I used to want to be a marine biologist when I was younger, went a completely different route after that. But I did used to want to be a marine biologist because I love sea life and marine animals. And so I absolutely loved like the inclusion of all of them, the cute little, the sea lions and the seals and the otters and everything, the sea turtles. Oh my gosh, the scene with the sea turtles. Like it was just fantastic. So I loved that she didn't pick like any animal rescue. I loved that it was a marine animal rescue.
I just love that it was an animal rescue. I hope that it inspires people to volunteer. I know anyone who's listening to this who has volunteered is like me. We don't get enough help. Please go help. It's a lot of fun. I promise. I know I talk to a lot of people and they're like, oh, I could never do that because I would want to take all the animals home. And I'm like, yeah. Well, you do, but just think about the joy you get when you help them find a good home.
True.
Believe me, if it were up to me, I would have both the pigs right now.
Oh boy.
We had these two giant ugly pigs. And I mean like, the kinds with like the pushed up nose and the tusks and the like choppy hair everywhere and the like gray discolored face. And they were at the animal shelter we worked at in Nebraska called Town and Country. And I loved them and I wanted to keep them. Their names were Porkchop and Bacon. And they only like, I know, right? I didn't get to name them. I thought that name was really insensitive. And I wanted to keep them so bad. I also really wanted to keep the goat, but.
Oh, super fun.
Yeah. I was very much the same. I considered marine biology for the longest time, and then I switched to something completely different, so.
What are you studying? You
and me both. ASL interpreting.
Oh, cool.
That's a noble profession. There aren't enough people that do that.
Agreed. Yeah, I'm really excited. There's a big demand for them, so I'm like, oh, I get a job.
Okay, so I wanted to ask you guys. So this book, this contemporary romance, does the enemies to lovers trope. So Are you guys fans of the enemies to lovers, or do you like more of the like best friends to lovers or strangers to lovers? What do you guys like?
Taylor, you go first.
Okay. I love enemies to lovers. I think it's my favorite trope ever because, I don't know, it's just something about, like, seeing the worst about someone, like, seeing them at the lowest point, like, thinking they're not redeemable at all, and then it completely doing a 180, and they're like, oh my gosh, shoot, I think I like this person. Like, it's just the best.
I agree. Bethany, what about you?
I love enemies to lovers, but my husband and I are friends to lovers, and so I think that trope always, like, hits home for me.
Yeah.
But I do love enemies to lovers, and I completely agree. There is something very reassuring about seeing the absolute worst in a person and still being able to love them.
Yes.
So that is very well said.
You mentioned you like friends to lovers. Actually, I think that's probably my second favorite trope now because I just remembered the selection series.
God, I love that series.
Oh, I have not read that yet, but it is on my list. I know. It's on my ever-growing TBR.
You know what, though? It's going to be hard for you to stop reading it because they're very quick reads. So when you start, just give yourself like 3 days and just read all three books.
You okay. can finish it in like a weekend. They're so quick.
Yeah, I did all the whole series in like 4 days while going through midterms.
Done. Yeah. Done. All right.
Like about 300 pages too. So
yeah, they're not very long.
Okay, good. That's good. I'll just whip through them super fast here coming up. Actually, we drive from South Carolina to New York State for Christmas every year. And that's, so we split it up into 2 days, but overall it's like 13 hours. So I have I usually read at least 2 or 3 books on that trip in the car. So I could do that. I could just read that whole series like on the way there and then read another series on the way back.
Yay. Perfect. Well, I have a ton for you to choose from.
Nice. You have a whole library behind you.
I do. I'm actually, I need to, right now everything is vertical and I need to flip it or I'm going to run out of space. So I need to rearrange the entire bookshelf because Christmas is coming up and in my family we always have this, like how we do presents is something you want, something you need, something to wear and something to read.
That's so cool.
So I'm definitely going to be getting books. I'm going to need somewhere.
You're going to want, need, read books.
Yes.
Three.
And you know what's funny is because I always want books, I usually end up getting at least 2. So.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I put a lot of books on my Christmas list this year.
I know. And my husband always gets me clothes. So I'm excited to see what clothes I get.
What comfy pajamas you get to wear while you read.
All right. Well, I don't know about you ladies, but I am ready to dive in more in depth with spoilers. Yay.
All right. Okay, my tissue's ready.
Yes. So guys. If you guys are listening and you have not yet read Instant Karma, I would recommend stopping here and then coming back and listening to the rest of the episode after you've read the book so that nothing is spoiled for you. But of course, if you have already read the book or if you don't care about spoilers, then by all means, continue listening. All right. Okay. There's like, so we have the, I know, I don't even know where to start. There's so many places and there's so much and it all just pulls me in. One thing that is like kind of a small minor thing, it's kind of buried in there a little bit, but that I noticed that I really, really thought was super cute was Carlos, the restaurant owner, and Trish, and how like you could see, there's that one scene when Trish is doing karaoke at the restaurant, and Prudence looks over, and Carlos is like looking at Trish with like googly eye. Oh my gosh! I was like, that's the cutest thing. That's so
everyone
fun.
Needs a partner in her books.
Yes,
someone.
I love
which
it.
Which is why in my head canon, Torin ends up with Priya somehow.
Yes.
Fan fiction writers can go do that for me. I haven't tried my hand at fan fiction yet.
Oh, man. I really liked all of the Beatles music references. Mm-hmm. I thought it was super fun. I loved that all of them have, all of Prudence and her siblings have names from the Beatles songs, which is crazy. I loved it.
Families
I loved writing them down.
That are like themed. Mm-hmm. You know, like how some people, like, they'll make sure all their kids' names start with the same letter.
Yes.
Like my friend Reagan, all of her kids' names start with L, so it's Lily, Liam, and Leo.
Yeah. A lot of people do that.
I think it's cute. I think
it
it's
is
so cute.
Cute.
Yeah.
It is cute. This is a super fun one. And I loved, I just really loved the inclusion of all the music. I don't know why, but it really spoke to me. I love music. And so I loved that and how in love with it Ari was, how that's all who she was, the record store, the karaoke. Are you two karaoke people? Do you do karaoke?
Oh, I love karaoke.
I love karaoke when it's just like me and my friends. If anyone else hears me, Oh my gosh. Like their ears will be bleeding. I can guarantee it.
So when I was in my very early 20s, my mom worked at this bar called the Corn Club. Told you I grew up in a farm town, right?
Uh-huh.
can you get better?
I don't get into this club.
But she worked at this bar and they did karaoke every Saturday night and they would let like underage people come in and do singing. So I would take my little sisters there every Saturday night and mom would give us free food. And we would sing karaoke.
Oh, my gosh.
Fun.
And so I love karaoke. I don't think I could I don't think I could get my husband to do it unless it was, like, Lizzo or something that he really loves. But
you have to sing a song from this book if you ever go back and do karaoke again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really hoping that my sisters will come and visit me in January while my mom is on her honeymoon. So maybe...
Yes.
Nothing else. We will do karaoke in my house and my husband can just hide in his room.
There you go. Just sing all these Beatles songs till your heart's content.
Yes.
And think about Prudence.
Do you guys have a favorite Beatles song?
Oh.
I think mine is Hey Jude.
Yeah?
I really like that one.
I do too. Oh man.
Or Yesterday.
Oh yeah, Yesterday is so good. This is a hard question for me because I love so many of them.
I wasn't a Beatles fan until I read this book and then I started listening to more of their songs and I was like, hey, I kind of like this music.
Oh my gosh, the Beatles are the best. They're fantastic. And I'm not just saying that because I'm 40 years old and, you know, 20 years older than you, Taylor.
But they're an icon. They're a legend.
They are. They're really, really good. I don't know. I like both of those songs too. I like Help a lot as well, also, actually.
Love Help.
That one's a good one.
I think my favorite would either be Help or Let It Be.
Oh yeah. That is so good.
I like Come Together also. I chose like three songs.
See, we're just saying every Beatles song now.
They're just all good.
It's like if I was trying to ask you your favorite book or your favorite movie, like you immediately think of a thousand things after the first thing you say.
Like my favorite book is probably Cress or Instant Karma or Cinder or Scarlet.
I honestly feel like Cress might be my second favorite now. I love how real it feels. Prudence feels so genuine. She is such a flawed person and in such a real and honest and authentic way, and it felt so genuine. And there were so many times throughout this book where I was like, girl, stop talking. And then there were so many times where I'm like, why doesn't anybody believe Prudence? Like, it was
well, and then there were times when I was like, why doesn't she speak up? Okay, because the $1,200, right. $1,200 from the lady on the beach, right?
She should have said something.
Like when they
she was very suspicious when she didn't say anything.
I was right. I kept on that whole scene when they counted the money and said there was only $300 and something in it, and in her head, Prudence is like, no, that's not right. Well, and even when she was looking at it in the jar herself, but then when it was confirmed in that scene, I was like, Prudence, say something about the $1,200 and the lady on the beach. Like, cause then they're going to know that something is wrong and the money disappeared somehow. I do love Prudence. I agree because she is just so absolutely believable and relatable. Like, she, for me, is relatable in the ways that in the things that I don't like about myself. but it's okay. Like it's good because she's not like a fluffy character who you cannot relate to at all in any way, shape, or form. She's very, very realistic, which makes her great. You know, she's stubborn. She's an overachiever. She's a control freak who wants to do everything all by herself all the time, which is something that I struggle with. Like, I'll be like, hey honey, can you help me with this? And then I'll be like, wait, but you have to do it this way. And he'll be like, let me do it, back away. I'm like, sorry, I'm trying. So it's like, oh my gosh. And she's also she's really judgmental too, you know, like she's really judgmental of Quint. But, and that's something that I really had to work on in myself to kind of overcome and not be as judgmental of people. So I like that we see in her that the same thing kind of happens, you know, like she ends up, by the time we get to the end of the book, she's not quite so judgmental because she realizes that there's more to people than we know. You know, they have more going on in our lives than we realize in their lives.
I think what makes her the most relatable is that you can be with her. Like, obviously, my entire podcast is dedicated to obsessing about Marissa Meyer. So I do love all of her books.
Love to see
but it. I'm not a hacker trapped in a satellite orbiting Earth, and I'm not a super villain with a secret identity, and I'm not a queen who loves baking and doesn't want to marry the creepy old king. So I have totally been an overdramatic teenager. I'm still an overdramatic teenager, except now I'm old enough to buy alcohol, and I totally relate to Prudence all the time, getting annoyed with her sister. I love my sisters, and if they're listening, they know that, but I'm 5 years older and 6 years older than them, so there was definitely times where it was like super not cool to have baby sisters all the time.
Yeah.
Like for them, it was probably super not cool to have your older sister pick you up from school all the time, you know? But true. I relate to her. She's got issues with her sisters. She's got issues with her parents. I grew up poor. I totally get not having money. Like, and this boy at school that everybody loves, but doesn't, why can't they see how annoying he is? And he's so rude and arrogant. And like, being inside her brain this whole book, which also, by the way, is the first book Marissa wrote from first narrative. Everything else she's written has been third person. So being in this experience, reading everything with her, there were so many occasions where I was like, girl, I totally get you right now. I wouldn't be able to say it out loud, but good for you. The money thing.
Yes.
My brain, maybe because I'm like super codependent, I don't know, but my brain immediately was like, girl, go get your mom. Like, that situation, I totally would have been like, mom, I need help. And my mom would have gone in there like guns a-blazing. Like, there's no way I wouldn't have gone to my mom right then. Oh, even gosh. Now, I would call my mom just so I had someone who would sympathize.
No, yeah. I love how you get to like spend a lot more time like focusing on the characters too, because it's not like you're not on the moon or you're not, you know, in this crazy world with superheroes. It's just like our world. So I got to like spend a lot more time like relating or not relating to Prudence.
Yeah, we're not saving the world.
No.
For once in one of her books, there's not like an epic battle and a tyrant and we're saving the world from all this evil magic. Like, it's just
Quint, you know, accusing her of money siphoning. That's it.
I mean, well, you know, what could be worse? That was, so it was funny because reading those chapters, like when they thought that she stole the money and essentially kicked her out from not allowing her to volunteer at the animal rescue center anymore. It's like, you know, like you have this feeling it's all going to work out in the end, right? But it's like those couple of chapters are just torture, even still. Like, it still does such a number on you emotionally because you're like, no, you just had, because they just had the thunderstorm scene, right?
I know,
they
just have so
the thunderstorm scene. And then she's like flying high and on cloud nine. And then this happens and you're like, no, stop it. It's so, and it's just like gut-wrenching. It's like, wait, okay, but this is a romance book, so it's probably works out at the end, but it's really hard to live through that, those couple of chapters until it all gets resolved.
You know that, that like, I don't know if it's like an insurance commercial, but it's like a fisherman and he has like a dollar at the end of his line and he's like, you almost had it. I feel like that's Marissa Meyer teasing us. It's like the romance. He's like, oh, they get to kiss. No, they don't anymore.
I love to. So what did you guys think of, Morgan. Okay. She was kind of a character. I mean, I think we're not really supposed to like her. She's not supposed to be our favorite character, But I do love that. I felt like there was poetic justice in the fact that Morgan is the one who comes into the store and is talking with them when they figure out that Shauna is the one who probably stole the money. Like, I love that she was the one who was there and it was like, huh, see, Morgan, you think I'm this horrible person and I'm not. You're the horrible. You know, like,
I love that little slap in the face to her. Like, it's not me. I totally thought it was going to be Morgan, though. Like, I thought she was going to be the villain.
Soon as they were talking about the shoes, as soon as they were talking about the fancy alligator shoes, I was like, nope, that's our girl. But with Morgan, like, Morgan is complicated for me because I'm a vegetarian.
Oh, that's true.
And I swear 90% of us are not trying to ram it down other people's throats. We're not throwing blood on fur coats. Like, I cook meat for my husband. Like, personal choice. I don't even complain. Like, I'll go to a restaurant and be like, can I have a side of fries and a grilled cheese sandwich? Like, it's all good. So the only thing I didn't like about Morgan was that she was like so stereotypical, like what people think vegans act like. And I don't want to give vegans a bad rep, but I totally get it because it's very difficult to work at an animal shelter and eat animals.
Yeah, I could see that.
The animal shelter I worked at had goats, pigs, chickens. We had like 20 chickens that we rescued from a cockfighting in Texas. So it was horrible to try and like take care of chickens all day and then everybody's like, let's go get KFC. And I'm like, how? You know, like, how can you do? I can't do it. So I totally get like why saving animals all the time would mess with your psyche.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, she did. It was cool because she did have a noble cause, you know. I think it was just kind of how she came off to Prudence. Like the first time that they met, her first impression, because she was totally ignoring them when she was with Quint. She wasn't really paying attention at all. She was on her phone the whole time because she was working on the, we find out later, because she was working on the, what's it called?
But it's the petition, but it's still rude and I totally get it. And I think that Morgan is also a, not relatable character, but like a relatable character in terms of like, we all know a Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, we all know someone who's always on their phone, who has a soapbox about something or multiple things. Yes. And you feel like you can just never say the right thing or you can never do the right thing. And so I totally, totally get that with Morgan.
Yeah. What did you guys think about, and I promise we are going to talk about the thunderstorm scene because we have to, and the Prudence's breakdown. We will get there. But before we discuss those juicy topics, what did you guys think about the whole thing with Maya's earring? Okay. Because I actually thought it was like, I thought it was a really good plot device. It wasn't like, it was, because that's kind of what connected everything with the money and then Prudence, you know, getting accused of stealing it. And I thought that, like, sometimes I've read books where there's the author inserts a plot device that's necessary to help move something in a certain direction, but it's really stupid, you know, or like it's really cheap and kind of the easy way out. And you're like, oh, come on, that was ridiculous.
Or it doesn't feel genuine.
Right, right. It doesn't feel genuine. But with this one, I felt like it worked really well because there was an emotional connection attached to it for Maya because it was her grandmother's earring. And I thought it was really great for Prudence as well because it helped her grow as a character and helped her stop being like so judgmental of Maya because of what she said or what Prudence thought she might feel about Jude, you know, to kind of like have more sympathy for her. So I really, really liked this a lot, as I thought it was a great plot device. What did you think about it, Taylor?
I remember feeling so nervous because Prudence like finally gets rid of the earring. I'm like, okay, it's not your problem anymore. Like, too bad they sold it off. I'm sorry. Just like, don't get involved because then like, they're going to think that you're stealing the money and like all this stuff is going to happen. And I was like, And then, oh my gosh, the moment when Quint sees her like going through the jar, I was like, oh my gosh, this wouldn't happen if you would just leave it alone. I'm so nervous for her.
Yeah, I agree. That was, it's like, it's just one of those moments when she got caught with the cash. It's like a kid, like one of my kids, when I come downstairs, my 7-year-old's like, I walk into the kitchen and he's like, nothing. I'm not doing anything, Mom. And I'm like, what are you doing? I'm not eating Oreos. You know,
it's like, I was just looking at it.
Like, I don't have kids. So for me, it's like when I see the dogs in the kennel. So they have kennels, but they're house trained. So we haven't used them in years. Mm. Like, we just leave the house and they don't do anything. But every once in a while, we'll come home and they'll be in the kennels. And it's like, what did you do? Why are you hiding in your room? Like,
in time out.
And then it's like, you have to figure out what they did. Like one time, what did they do? It was a couple weeks ago. Oh, my husband left a Pyrex lid that had food on it on the counter and they took it down and just destroyed it. They got all the food off of it. It was in so many pieces. And so like, I came home and they're in the kennel and I'm like, what are you guys doing? And they wouldn't come out. And so I was just like walking around the house, like trying to find the evidence.
Something's wrong somewhere. I know it.
It's a mini adventure.
I love how much fate played a role in this book. I very much felt like fate was its own character, you know?
Yes.
Especially when you get to the end of the book, I feel like, you know, on a second read, you can see more of it, but there's just so many tiny little moving parts. There's an invisible string, if you will. And, you know, like with Morgan falling down and breaking her leg and the earring, and then it turns out, you know, this lady bought the earring and sold the earring, and like you can almost follow the earring throughout the entire story.
Yeah.
And I just loved that the concept of fate went much further than these two people destined, I'm putting that in quotations, to be together, or her having this cosmic power, which, by the way, her power of instant karma, magnificently written, because when I finished reading this book, I was like, so much of that felt like it could have just been coincidence and a 16-year-old girl thinking she had powers.
Right?
Like, I'm not convinced she had powers of instant karma at all. I'm suspicious that it was just like coincidence, you know? Because I know for sure growing up, I was definitely like, if anybody's ever watched Charmed, I was definitely freezing stuff all the time, like Piper. Okay,
like, when you're at the traffic light and you're like, okay, turn green now, and it turns green,
yes,
like,
exactly. Oh, I did it, yes, exactly. Yes. And I thought like so much of what happened that was quote instant karma could have also just been like happenstance. So I don't know. I definitely finished the book and I was like, I can't for sure tell if she actually had powers or not.
This whole book is just Prudence going insane. She's like, I have power.
I have cosmic individual powers. I do.
Yeah, and she's like, the universe is gone.
Oh, no.
Correct the universe.
And the universe works on everybody except for Quint.
Oh, Quint. Because Quint is a secret treasure.
He is. He's just, I just love him. I love the fact that he is named after a character in Jaws. Okay, when they go to see Jaws, the whole time I'm reading this scene, all I could keep thinking was, hold her hand. Hold her hand, Quint. Hold her hand. Come on, do it.
Yes, do the arm thing.
Arm thing.
Yawn, put your arm over her shoulder.
I was like, come on, dude, make a move. You know you want to right now.
We're all waiting.
Yes.
We're all waiting for it, yes.
It felt like, okay, let's talk about the thunderstorm scene. Like that scene.
Yay!
It was, I mean, we don't get there, like the thunderstorm doesn't happen until page like 300 and something. So it's like 305. So it's a long time before we finally get this scene. Here's my favorite part. Okay. I have to read this. This is before. So they're at the rescue center. She hangs up the phone with her mom because she's telling her mom where she is. And then I hang up and turn around to see Quint. Quint is standing in the doorway, just a few feet away from me. Quint is shirtless. Quint is wearing a faded blue towel around his waist and using a second towel to dry his hair. Like, and then she spins around backwards because she's holy so flustered. What are you doing? Why are you doing? Why don't you have a shirt on? Like, it's just, that was just so fun to read because she just gets so flustered and embarrassed, and it's just so cute and it's so genuine and true. Like, I mean, yeah. Like, I can remember, you know, being a teenager and like going out with my girlfriends, going to the beach or whatever, or the water park, because we didn't really, we lived by a lake, but the water in the lake wasn't always swimmable. So we didn't really swim there, but there was an amusement park. So we would go there and go to the water park, you know, and I remember like being a young teenage girl, you know, seeing these guys walk around with their shirts off and being like, whoa, you know, like, so it's just, it's super cute. I just love her reaction to him at that moment. That's, it's a really good start to the scene.
Yeah. I feel like Quint knew what he was doing. I feel like deep down he knew. He's like, I'm going to walk in shirtless. I think he knew.
I think he did too.
Boundaries with her, see what she does.
Yeah,
he's like teasing her. He's teasing her with this,
and I love her inner monologue of like, "Why is he almost naked?"
Yes, I can't believe this. But I just love that scene, and it's like the fun thing is that it's like what, 2-3 chapters? It's like 2 chapters long, which is awesome. Yeah. We get a really good amount of time of the two of them. It's 3 chapters. Yep. I just love it because we get a really good amount of time of the two of them together. And you know from the start, you're like, oh, she's setting this up really well. It's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's finally going to happen. They're going to kiss and it's going to be so cute and it's going to be so good. And it was just, she had a really big lead into it. And then it finally happens. And I was like, yay. It's just such a sweet, fun moment.
I loved it.
I love the way it happens too.
Yes, beautiful. Me too.
I love the happy birthday candles and like the aesthetic ambiance that they have going on with the blackout and
the towel skirts. So
the towel skirt.
The towel skirts.
Also, like, okay, because like I said, I've worked in animal shelters before. And so we had a laundry room. The animal shelter I worked at was mostly like rescue animals. We used to go around the country and we would pick up animals off of euthanized lists. So we would go to like the dog shelter and get all the animals that they were about to put down and things like that. And so we had this huge laundry room that had nothing but like towels and dog beds and blankets. And it just smelled amazing because you're just constantly washing laundry. And so when they were going, like looking around for towels and stuff, I could very clearly in my head, I was picturing that particular laundry room and the smell and how chilly it would be. And we had a tornado 4 years ago and we lost power for like 4 days. So I was like, oh my gosh, this, I'm getting so much nostalgia for my own memory.
That's another thing too, that I really love about this book is that because it is contemporary and it's so relatable in so many ways, you know, like there are just so many different scenarios like this, that make it that much better because you can relate to it and it does become so nostalgic. And even when I was interviewing Marissa, she was saying that too, like a lot of it came from her life and things that were, you know, nostalgic and had meaning for her, which I thought was really cool too. So that was a lot of fun, but
yeah,
I love, okay, so leading up to the kiss. Oh my gosh. It's so cute, right? Because they're actually kind of arguing a little bit about the his artwork and using his artwork at the fundraiser. And she's like, fine, you can do whatever you want to. And then he just kind of stares at her. I can do whatever I want. And then she says,
oh my gosh,
within reason, it might be too late for that. Like, I love that. And she's like, I'm about to ask what he's talking about when he lowers his head and touches his lips against mine. I freeze. And she's like, all thoughts evacuate my brain, leaving me with nothing but mental stat. It's just so cute. I just love it.
Can we talk about one thing that happens before that?
Yes.
Because I love when he says that she's not beautiful.
Oh my gosh. I know.
Can I read that paragraph? Is that okay?
Yeah.
It's like Jude, for example. He's so nice. Everybody likes him. He just gets along with people everywhere he goes. I know I'm not that. And Ari, she's so talented and so passionate about music, but I'm not really passionate about anything other than wanting to succeed, to do my best. But I can make plans and I can stay organized. And if a teacher assigns a report, I'm going to write the best darn report they've ever seen. If I'm throwing a gala, I'm going to throw a party that no one will ever forget. I can do that. And if I can impress people, then maybe they won't notice that I'm not witty or beautiful or fun. I mean, you're not beautiful.
He makes
the comment right where we don't feel like we're presenting our best self, or we don't feel like we're beautiful, or we don't feel confident, maybe on a daily basis, maybe just once in a while. And it's always so great when there's someone there who's able to look at you and see you in a way you can't see yourself.
Yeah. Although I will say he could work on his complimenting skills a little bit.
But honestly, if I could get that one scene tattooed like on my arm somewhere, please let me. Like, I would do it.
Seriously.
Right. It's I cannot wait for all the fan art to start pouring in.
I am so excited. I cannot wait. It's like, I've been thinking about it a lot already. Like these past few weeks as I've been, you know, trying to pick stuff for Fan Art Fridays. And I'm like, oh, I really, 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 really want Instant Karma fan art already. Somebody do it. I cannot do that myself. But if you're an artist and you're listening, do it, please. We need it. We're ready.
Cosmic Nova Flare. Adam A.R. Art,
Josie Draws,
Angela Lavarium, all the people that are always making Marissa Meyer fan art.
Oh, yeah.
I'm calling you out. Please make us some Prudence and Quint fan art. And Lions.
We need it. We need it. So the other scene, one of my other favorite scenes that I love is when they go scuba diving, when he takes her scuba diving. Yeah. Because he just opens up her eyes to this whole other world, and it's so fantastic. And again, that's a relatable moment for me because I absolutely love sea life and sea creatures. I love when we go to the ocean and we go to the beach and I see like all the little mollusks, you know, the little snails, or there's like jellyfish. Okay, well, the jellyfish I'm a little wary of, but even still, just seeing them is still kind of cool. And seeing like we get to see dolphins frequently where we go, which is really cool. We've gotten to see sea turtles eggs hatching. Like I've seen baby sea turtles hatch, which was the most amazing thing. So it was just such a fun scene to watch Prudence as she read it, you know, from her perspective as she experienced all of that for the first time. I just thought it was really cool.
Yeah, it felt like I was experiencing it for some reason, because like it's just so easy to picture everything that happens in any of her books. It's so cool, and I'm obsessed with sharks, so I was like, why are you afraid of sharks, Prudence? Like, just go in there, maybe you'll see one. We'll get to read about it.
You're so funny. I loved that scene. And I also, again, just more relatable characteristics. Her, like, starting out a little shy and nervous because she's in her swimsuit. Mm-hmm. And then she's starting to have so much fun that she forgets about all of that. I loved that part, too.
Me, too.
I felt that same way. One time I went to Sunsplash with, like, my cousins. And everyone, like, there's these girls walking around. They're, like, little bikinis. And I'm, like, I'm scared to take off my shirt. I'm, like,
ugh. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, how are they doing this?
Seriously.
I tan very easily. I've actually never been sunburned. So I often have very awkward tan lines. Like, I'll have lines from, like, my shorts and my bathing suit and a tank top. And I have little lines on my feet from my flip-flops. And so, like, I always get slightly embarrassed going swimming because it's, like, this weird box of tan lines around my swimsuit. So I totally get it. Like, I have this giant jean t-shirt that I like to wear
when I go. It's like one of those little like button up ones, and I just don't button it. And then I'm like, you know. So I totally get that.
Yeah, I think pretty much every girl and woman can relate to that. It's just
and boys bathing too. Suits. My husband gets self conscious about that stuff too.
Yeah, I mean, bathing suits are just uncomfortable. It's like you might as well be in your underwear. I mean, that's what it feels like, you know.
It's basically just the underwear, kind of for swimming.
Yeah, exactly.
For swimming, so it's socially acceptable.
Yeah. So it's just a little intimidating, you know.
Yeah. And there's always those people at the pool who look like they just walked off of Gucci. Like, their hair is perfect, and somehow their makeup is perfect, even though they've been swimming all day. Like, I have curly hair, so if I go swimming, I have to, like, braid it or something, because otherwise, just, like, it's not going to look good. So, I don't know. It's also, like, if you ever go to the gym and there's girls that have, like, perfect makeup and hair, and they're, like, not even remotely sweating, and I'm over here, like, drenched, and I look yucky, and I'm so not adorable.
I've been on the treadmill for, like, 2 minutes, and I'm just walking, and I'm, like, pouring sweat. Yeah.
Like, feet red. Like, I'm just not cute.
I'm, like, chugging my water. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, are we done yet?
You know, I always look at those girls. I'm like, I hate you right now. Go away. Why are you so perfect? I look horrid.
I was reading this so my mom is like one of those people that's like always trying to put positive energy into the world. It's an old gypsy thing and we're gypsies. But she sent me this article a couple weeks ago about like trying to invoke joy for other people. And so one of the things that you're supposed to do is like in a situation where you would normally say like, I'm so jealous of you, you say, I'm so happy for you. So like if a friend goes to a concert, you'd be like, oh, I'm so jealous. Instead, you would say like, I'm so happy for you. And it's supposed to help you like find inner joy for yourself and acceptance. So next time you feel that way, Leah, you just say, I'm so happy for those girls.
I'll try.
Just writing that down.
I'll try, she said. She's like, that's my prudence judgment coming out.
Seriously. That is. It is. If prudence can change, then so can I. Let's talk about that, because that's my other scene for poor Prudence here. This is one of the scenes that like rips your heart out when she gets it, when they accuse her of stealing the money, and then she runs out and leaves. And then we have on page 347, she sees, because she sees Shauna with Maya's earring on, and then she runs out and she's like, I'm a good person. Selfish, critical. I am a good person. Judgmental, self-absorbed. I am a good person. A liar, a hypocrite, a mistake. My vision is blurred. I can't keep going. I pull over onto the sidewalk and drop my bike against a palm tree before collapsing beside it. The sobs overtake me. I'm a good person, I cry to myself, to no one, maybe to the universe if it's listening. But a question digs at me. Quint's words, barbed and hateful, his accusations, my own insecurities. I believe I'm a good person, but what if I'm not?
Oh my gosh.
I know. Are you all crying now?
This is where you cry.
So I have a lot of responsibilities and I'm a very busy person. I've always got like different goals and ambitions that I'm working on. Even right now I'm on break from school and I have like 10 things that I'm trying to do, including finish writing my book. And so I relate to this because this is what I would consider a mental breakdown. And I have them all the time. was it summer? Over the summer, I'm in grad school, and over the summer I took 3 classes. Why did I do that? And I was working full time and I had the podcast. And this one day I got home, I'd been at work since like 7:30. I had class at 6 and it was like 5:45 and I hadn't eaten all day. So I was like, I grabbed some McDonald's on my way home. And I was like, okay, I got to get inside. I got to get to my computer. I got to get to my Zoom meeting. And I let the dogs outside to go to the bathroom. And Beowulf, our youngest dog, he has autism. So he's very like temperamental. And he has this Frisbee, we call it his pacifier because it's always in his mouth. And he wanted to play, but I had to go to class and eat my sandwich. So I was like, I'm really sorry, I can't play right now. And he is part beagle, and he just and started crying. And so I was like bawling my eyes out and like trying to get him to hug me when I know he can't hug me because I'm also in class. And my husband comes home and is like, what is happening? And I was like, I'm the worst dog mom in the entire world. Like, I'm such a bad mom. And he's like, what are you talking about? So, like, I totally get it. We've all been there when those insecurities creep in and everything is overwhelming and you hit a breaking point. And so reading this scene, I just was like, I wanted to hug her so bad and be like, it's okay, girl. I got you. You're such a good person. You're flawed, but you are a good person. Yes. One or two bad decisions doesn't make you a horrible person.
Yeah.
It's just so awful when it's happening too, like when Quint is upset with her and he's like kind of yelling at her. I was like, stop it. Just kiss again.
I was like, stop yelling at her.
What it is,
like, she was very guilty, but
it's just so hard too,
not
because
her.
No, it's not her. And they just had this high of being together and really excited and it was all new and fun. And then all of a sudden it's like comes crashing down all at once and poor thing can't handle it, you know? And I mean, who could blame her? I would have had a breakdown too. I've definitely had my share of mental breakdowns, you know, the same type of thing. So it was just, that was the tearjerker moment in this book for sure. Really big one.
I think the most, like, the part that really breaks my heart. So the part where he's, like, yelling at her and she's like, go on, say it. Yesterday I was confident and fun. What am I today? Like, that killed me because I so badly wanted her to, I was like, you're focusing on the wrong thing, Prue. Tell him that you didn't do it. Yam is on our side.
Do you guys have any, are there any other things in the books, topics that either one of you wanted to touch on really quick before we wrap up?
This is just like a quick little comment that when I read it, I was like, what? When she almost accidentally murders Morgan, I was like,
right?
Calm down, you silly goose. Like,
why are they so flippant about that? I was reading that and I got so stressed out.
Mm-hmm. She, like, just ran away on her bike. I was like,
call an ambulance. Go see if she's okay.
Yeah, that was really bad. I was like, Morgan just, because I'm picturing, like, I mean, how tall is that thing? You know, like,
it's a billboard. It's right. Got to be at least 20 feet off the ground.
Right? So I'm picturing this, like, super tall thing, and then poor Morgan falls, and I'm like, oh, my God, she's going to die. She's going to be dead. Like, this is not okay. And Prudence is like, oh, I got to get out of here, and just runs away. Goes, and I'm like, yeah. Would have been good to call the police or 911 or something right there. Make sure.
Like, this is just me. Maybe like I'm a mama's girl or something. But like, again, if I'm like 15 years old and I see someone, I'm calling my mom. Yeah. Someone call from a billboard. I'm going to call my mom and go, Mom, what do I do?
Yeah, but she thought it was her fault because she thought that she had
told the paramedics that.
It's true.
It's so cold with paramedics and just anonymously call 911 and just be like, hi, I'd like to report an accident, and then hang up when they ask for your information.
Oh, I would have just like given myself away. I'd have been like, I murdered someone.
And then they put you in the psych ward because you're like, I did it with my cosmic powers.
It was the universe.
It was the universe.
I feel like I want to like walk around using that excuse now for everything. It wasn't me. It was the universe. The universe is
it. That is my excuse today. I did something today that I don't do. I woke up and I had a meeting. I had an advisement meeting. So I did that. And then I watched Tangled, the series. It's adorable. Fun. Dogs and I took a nap for like 4 hours. So my husband came home and was like, you're in bed? And I was like, yep. And I'm in my comfy outfit that you bought me. My fuzzy socks.
The universe made me do it.
The universe told me to take a nap.
There you go. Next time it happens. You've got it now.
I would say the only other thing I want to mention is that I just love that there's an airplane above my head right now. There are bloopers for Leah.
Yes.
I live near an Air Force base. So I just love all the animals. I love the animal rescue. I hope that it encourages people to volunteer or donate or do whatever you can to participate in that. And I love how real the struggle felt. Again, I've worked in animal shelters. I should say I volunteer. I'm not like a paid employee, like the bad guy, like the villain of our story. but I just loved how real it felt, because there are definitely times when it's like, oh my God, how are we going to feed all these animals? So I totally get that you're like always hanging on by a thread and hoping for the best. And then you do this huge, like, get together to try and earn money. And then it's like, oh, cool. It earned practically nothing. That's great. Like,
yeah,
you know,
I actually, started following on Instagram, the shelter. So when Marissa was doing research for this book, she went to Florida and went to an animal, a marine animal rescue center, and asked them tons of questions, and whatnot. So I actually just started following that animal rescue center on Instagram, and it's fantastic. Like, I absolutely love seeing it and seeing, all the pictures of the animals and all the stories of how they rescue the animals and then are able to release them once they're ready. And it's just, it's so fun. It's a great Instagram feed to follow. In fact, I will put it in the show notes for everybody for today so that you guys can check that out as well. And you can see the animals that inspired the story.
Yes. So it's in Laguna Beach, California. It's called the Pacific Marine Mammal Center.
California. I said Florida.
And their Instagram handle is Pacific MMC. So,
yep. Yeah. And I'll put that in the show notes. All right. Yay. Well, this was so much fun, ladies. I'm so glad that you are both here. So for my listeners for today, you should go on Instagram and follow both Taylor and Bethany. Taylor has a super fun Marissa Meyer focused most of the time Instagram account. Taylor, why don't you tell everybody about your Instagram and what your handle is, where they can follow you.
So my handle is renegade_anarchist. It's a huge, you know, renegade series reference, if you've read that by Marissa Meyer. And I mainly stick to posting, like, you know, all about renegades, but I also post about her other books and, you know, most recently Instant Karma. So yeah. Oh, I also have a little shop. You can follow it on Instagram too. It's called angel.ane.shop, and I sell like pretty much all Marissa Meyer merch. I hand embroider and like hand make little charms and stuff, and I do custom orders, so you can get whatever you want if you like other books too.
Nice. All right, Bethany, your turn. Tell everybody where they can find Prince Kai Fan Pod.
So Prince Kai Fan Pod is everywhere at Prince Kai Fan Pod.
PrinceKaiFanPod.com,
PrinceKaiFanPod@gmail.com, Patreon.com/PrinceKaiFanPod, where we have parties all the time. PrinceKaiFanPod on Instagram, which just hit 2,600 followers a couple days ago. So thank you for that. And you can reach out to me. I'm everywhere at Bethany A. Finger. If you find someone else with that name, I would be very interested to know. Bethany is Romanian, so it's spelled Bethanie, like Beth Annie. Always have to tell people that part. and yeah, we do episodes every Monday morning. There's a new episode. But if you're a Patreon member, you get it usually Friday, right, Taylor? Like usually Friday or Saturday.
Yep. I always watch it on cleaning day. So
yeah.
Nice. Perfect. All right, good. Thank you for both of you. I will put all of that for both Taylor and Bethany in the show notes for today. So thank you again, both of you, for being here. This was so much fun. Thank you to all of my listeners for being here and listening and joining in with us. And we will chat again soon.
Today's episode featured the book Instant Karma by Marissa Meyer. Be sure to follow YA Book Chat on Instagram and Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe so that you can get your episodes as soon as they are available. YA Book Chat has a brand new Patreon page. Have you checked it out yet? Be sure to check it out because there are many benefits you don't want to miss. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and a positive review. It really helps the podcast a lot. YA Book Chat was created by, is hosted and edited by me, Leah Stuhler.